Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'd like to welcome each and all of you to today's worship service and pray God's blessing upon us as we worship in truth and in the Spirit. Each day has its own challenges, and sometimes they meet us at a point when we least expect those days. But at the same time, we want to be thankful to God that in the midst of any or all of those challenges, God is always glorified. So for some of you that I've not seen for a while and just seen today, I want to say a special welcome to you. I'm glad to have you. And we pray that the Lord will continue to help us as we worship together as a church. Now, today we have a special challenge this morning with one of the things that is not my favorite, technology. Sometimes when you most need it, that's when you start acting up. And so we will go to what we know best, what we've always done, I guess what we are used to. And that would be to our papers, why the technicians work on our technology. Technicians will be working on our technology. So let me just call your attention to the announcements. We have, luckily for us, we are blessed that we have it as inserts in our bulletins. Please take note of those. And those that require actions, please prayerfully consider being a part of those actions. I know the nearest one would be Tuesday, our council meeting, which of course every council member is invited. I know Patty said that we're going to have the both. Patty is going to be leading the Art Council, so since she's also the chairperson of Finance, I think she wants to just use one stone to kill two birds. I guess that's what she's going to do. So thank you for that. The next thing coming up is our Fun Fest is coming up. We still have room for volunteers. This is the time we get together and to celebrate. One challenge, maybe we keep having little things here and there, and that's what life is about. If you don't have challenges and times of joy and everything is just joyful, maybe there will be no room for God in our hearts. So sometimes the challenges can help wake us up. So we have, as a church, we have a number of challenges coming up. We need somebody who can go up here to take care of the scene up there, maybe change the stuff there. The line here is kind of separating, protecting, helping to protect us from someone from getting hurt if that thing were to fall anytime. Now, another challenge we have on here is to take down this big historical tree that is in the yard. We've been talking about that with the trustees. It's now the consensus between us and the law office. We agree that inasmuch as the tree is beautiful and we want to see it there, it's becoming more dangerous. So everybody agreed to take it down. Again, the trustee is working on that. Thank you so much, Chuck. You got a lot of things to do. Thank you. So let's pray for all of these, and any time that any of us can be a part of any of those needs that we have in the church as a church, please feel free to let us know how you can help. of course, Ellen Welling is coming up. We invite the whole church. You can be there if you want to be there. It will be a blessing to have the church there. But if you can, just keep us in your prayer. That's good. With that, I would invite us to rise, this time with your bulletins. As usual, you know, it's good to go back to the past. You will rise with your bulletins for the call to worship, because our technology is having some problem here. God Turns On My Light is the title of the call to worship. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. A shoot will come up from the storm of Jersey. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. The Spirit of counsel and of might. Together, he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, but his daughters by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. Amen. Open my eyes that I may see. Is our hymn is hymn number 454. Open my mouth and let me bear, beloved one with everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare, love without care. Silently now I wait for thee, ready my God. You may be seated. The litany of illumination is on the inserts of your bulletins. Your hands made me and formed me. Open my eyes that I may see. I have hidden your words in my heart. The unfolding of your words gave light. Give me understanding. Your commands are always with me. I have more insight than all my teachers. Oh, how wonderful are your precepts for me. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light of my path. I shall walk at liberty, for I have sought your precepts. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and light to my path. Amen. Do we have children here this morning?
All right. Good morning.
How are you all doing?
Good.
All right. How are you doing?
Good.
All right. How are you doing?
Good.
Okay. So, we will be talking about something that was supposed to be on the screen, but it is not there today. So I'm sorry about that, but you know, that's what, sometimes when you're watching your video on the phone, what happened? It goes blank, right?
Yes.
So that's the same thing here this morning. We were trying to see if we could put the video on the screen, but for some reason, the projector said it can't work. It's not going to happen now, so we should go ahead and do what we've always done when we didn't have projector. In those days, that what happened, that what we used to do, we didn't have anything to put on the screen. You know, everything we did was from the paper. It was always on the paper. So we read from the paper. That's what we are doing this morning. But today we want to talk about Jesus when he talked to his disciples. He told them that, you know, we know that when Jesus died and he was buried, he rose from the dead. So when you were about to go back to heaven, the disciples were kind of sad. They said, oh my God, he's going again. He's going to leave us like this and we are going to have problem. So he said to them, no, don't worry. I'm going to bring somebody. I will send somebody to you. And this person will be with you all of the time. Do we know who that person is? Do we remember who the person is? Okay, that person was called the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples he was going to send the Holy Spirit so he can come and be with them. And the Holy Spirit was going to be there to help them when they have problems. The Holy Spirit was going to be there to teach them when they needed to know something that they didn't know, or to just make things clear for them, something that they didn't really, 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 really understand. You know, the Bible is so hard to understand. Even for pastors, it can be hard to understand. So the Holy Spirit was promised and sent by Jesus so that the Holy Spirit can help us to understand what God wants us to know about him. So that's what we'll be talking about today. Do you sometimes feel when you want to do something, do you, maybe when you see a friend,
you want to do something good for them, and then something will tell you, say, oh no, don't do that. Then your heart will say, oh, I think it's good for me to be nice. Do you sometimes struggle with something like that? Anybody ever struggle with that? Whether to do something good or to do something bad? We all do that. I do that sometimes. I do struggle with stuff like that. But then the spirit that tells us to do good is the work of the Holy Spirit that is in us. So God's spirit lives in our hearts. And he helps us to understand. He helps us to know bad from good. Right from wrong. Okay? So I want to challenge you when you leave from here. Pray hard that our projector can work. Then you will see some video the next time we get together, okay? Because it's always good to have video up there, right? And you like to see the video? Then let's pray about that, okay? All right, let us pray. Thank you, dear God, again for our time with these children. We pray, Lord, that even with our limitations, the limitations in terms of our knowledge of you and our relationship with you, and all that we need to do, that we fail to do, and most of the time find difficult to do, even to find the words to better express your love for them, you still are God. You are still the spirit that indwells even the little ones. May you continue to work on their hearts and minds as they grow up so that we grow knowing and trusting you as the Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for coming.
Almost afraid to pick up the microphone this morning. Kind of an apropos song. We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if the trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness. We doubt your love. As if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while you hear each desperate plea, I long that we'd have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if the trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know this pain reminds us that this is not our home. 'Cause what if our blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if the greatest disappointments in my life is the revealing of the thirst that this world can satisfy? What if the trials of this life, the rain, the storm, the hardest night, your mercies in disguise?
Connie is not here this morning, and is not here, so I'm going to be doing the reading for us from the epistle according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 7 through the 13 verses. This is Paul, the apostle's writing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no one, no eyes have seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind have conceived, the things God has prepared for those who loved him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Holy Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, for who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with the spiritual taught in words. This is the word of God for the people of God. Gift to serve him one way or the other, you will be blessed. I'm looking on the wall. I thought there was something there. You see how people are programmed, right?
I'm looking on the wall. I thought it was all right. But I have the wall right before me here, so it's not, yeah. I'm not going to get mixed up at all. So we will like to invite you to turn to St. John chapter 16, the Gospel of John, chapter 16, beginning with verse 12 through the 15 verses. And Jesus, again, like I was telling the kids here, trying to share with them, which is still way above their level of understanding, but we trust the Spirit to help them as they grow up. Maybe there will be somewhere it's kind of going to be buried in their subconsciousness when they grow up and they hear, I thought I heard something like this before. So that's what this is about. But Jesus is interacting with his disciples for the last time before his ascension. Now somebody might want to know why we're talking about ascension in during Pentecost. Well, if there was no ascension, there would have been nothing called Pentecost. So they are related. So here is his goodbye. And he's saying to them, one of the goodbyes that he said to them. He said, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. This is the word of God for the people of God. And may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We've been talking a lot about the Spirit, and our desire is to be able to help us, and I'm saying us Christians, be able to understand the importance of the Holy Spirit on our faith joining and even in our own faith life. Because otherwise, Spirit without the Holy being there is a scary word. If somebody says you worship the Spirit, and probably the not-eyed Holy Spirit, you'd be like, I don't worship the Spirit, you know. But if the Holy Spirit is eyed at, it makes all the difference. So we have to understand that there is a very, very important part. The Spirit is a very, very important part of our faith joining. So the Spirit does a whole lot of things in our lives. Spirit is our teacher. Spirit is our helper. The Spirit is our counselor. The Spirit is our comforter. The Spirit is our guidance. The Spirit is God's seal in and on our lives as believers, and because it's God's seal, God's stamp that he puts on our lives, there must be a reason why that stamp is there. A part of the reasons is for the Spirit to illumine us. And so I have the title, the Spirit, our Illuminator. We just sang this beautiful hymn. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth. And I don't know, as we sing those hymns, I don't know what our understanding of those words are. But I'm just going to dwell on the Spirit being our illuminator, and then the hymn that we just sang, asking God, praying to God to illumine us. Let's talk about a little bit about what do we mean by being illuminated. When one is illuminated, what is that? What are you? If the Spirit is our illuminator, what does it mean to be illuminated? Or what illumination means for you as a believer? At least in the context of our faith, our understanding, strength, okay, to make us aware. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm going to go strictly to Apostle Paul. When he defined the Word of God in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. And he says the Word of God is what? It's inspired. Let me see if I can read it from my Bible here. I hope I can locate it. But he says, the Word of God is inspired. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. And it's not only inspired because God loves to inspire people, but it's inspired for a particular reason. And here it goes. All scripture is God breathed. All scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuilding, correcting, and training in righteousness. Why do we need that? So that the people of God may be thoroughly equipped. Taught roughly equipped for every good work. Jesus understood this from the very beginning, that God's word was inspired. Of course, we can spend we can do a lot of sermons on inspiration, the Word of God being inspired. There's so many different interpretations about that, understanding, interpretation, and applications. And the way people understand the Scripture, that's how they apply it to their and the lives of other people. You believe that? You believe that people apply the Scripture based on their understanding of it? Yeah. And so there are several interpretations of Scriptures. Why? Because a part of the reason, there's no one reason for that. The part of the reason is, it is that the Scripture was written by human beings. The only difference that this Scripture makes from other writings of people who are very good at writing, putting out their views and writing their thoughts, putting down their thoughts, is because it was inspired. They were inspired by God, the phrase inspired by God.
is attached to it. And so you have a cultural implications. You have personal. Righteous will sometimes bring themselves into what they write. They will bring their personal views. They will put forth their thoughts about certain issues. And so most people have the understanding that the scripture is no different from that. Why that might be true? There is one truth that is never, ever, no matter how and where and when this scripture was written or by whom it was written. There is a fundamental spiritual truth that must be retained and taught and expressed if indeed it will stand the test of being the Word of God. Otherwise, it becomes another philosophical, theoretical, personal views of people. I was coming from Africa. I was privileged one time to have, I was then in high school when the apartheid president, Pete Botha, visited Liberia. And those of us who were student leaders at the time, we felt that it was wrong for him to be using the scripture in South Africa to back up his apartheid. And he said that because Paul said in the book of Romans that government is instituted by God, therefore the government should be worshipped. And we protested that. We said that was not true. That's how people interpret the scripture. And the way they interpret it, you know, it cannot affect the way they relate to people. They relate to themselves first, and that's how they perceive other people. So it was okay for a certain group of people to be marginalized, in fact, enslaved in their own land, all because the Bible says God instituted the authority of government. And in fact, government is the direct representative of God on the face of the earth. That's fallacy. It's total heresy. That's not true. The government does not represent God on earth. God has one representative on earth, and that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that succeeded the presence of Jesus. And so you hear him saying here in this text in John 16, just before his ascension, that I have so many things to teach you, but I really don't have the time now to teach you all of the things that you need to know. But I'm going to send you someone who is going to. Why would you consider that? Would you say that it was the government Jesus was talking about? No. It's not the government. So people misinterpret, sometimes intentionally, just to kind of back their actions. And so we've got to be very careful when we talk about the authority of Scripture. Jesus is saying to us here this morning that the Holy Spirit is going to illumine. The Spirit is not going to teach us something new, except there is a need for the Spirit to teach us something new. But the work of the Spirit, the sole purpose of the Spirit coming into the world, is because God knows our minds. God knows that there is a tendency when we are left alone, and I'm talking about human beings here, when we are left alone, maybe for just an extended period of time, it's a tendency that we go astray. We can point at instances just before Jesus came into the world. Think about the Adam and Eve story. How long did God leave Adam and Eve in the garden? Just for the little moment of time, things went the way they went. think about Moses going on Mount Sinai to pray for these people, for his people, just for a little period of time. They say, oh, he's taking too long on that mountain. We've got to make our own God. And so Jesus is saying to them, I'm not going to leave you that long. I'm not even going to leave you without hope. Because when people become hopeless, what happens is they start looking for all kinds of way out. He said, but I'm going to send you someone who is going to not teach something new, but because of the given the dynamic of the world that we live in, so many things in our mind. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have 4, 5, 6 things running in my mind just about the same time, and I'm kind of struggling which should come first and which should come second. And Jesus says, there's a need for someone to be not only with you, but to be in you. Because it was totally different when Jesus was with these people. The Holy Spirit was with them. There had been no time in the history of our faith that the Holy Spirit was absent. But there are times in history when each of the three became prominent, took prominence in the life of the people. And because Jesus was present at the time, there was not really much talk about the Holy Spirit. And he was just with them, going with the flow with Jesus, until when Jesus was about to leave the scene, he says, this is going to be the one who is going to teach you not new things, but all that I have taught you. Some of the things that probably you misunderstand. Some of the things that you don't understand. It was one instance when the disciples in the parable of the sowers, the disciples started to ask Jesus about, why is it that when you're speaking to these people, you always use parables? Why you don't just speak in plain language? And Jesus' response was, the reason is very simple. The reason is, these people, they see, but they don't seem to behold. They hear, but they don't seem to really hear. They don't understand. They seem to understand, but they really don't understand. Have you ever come to a point like that in your own life? Sometimes you read even the scripture that we say is our authority. You get to somewhere, part of the scripture, and that's why most people kind of reject reading the Old Testament. They say when they get to it, it gets so boring, and then they say, oh, well, I just put it down. We'll go back to it later on. So Jesus says, your best bet is speak in the language that they will relate to. And that's why he used parables most of the time to speak to these people. And he said, but then why when you speak to us? He said, because the secret of the kingdom of God has been revealed to you. You already have the Spirit of God within you, and this Spirit should be able to help you to understand. Paul goes further than that. Paul says, the kind of man, and probably the woman too, doesn't understand spiritual things. Because for them it's foolishness. The things of the Spirit are not understood by people who are not spiritually discerned. And so what happens? Those of us who are Christians, who have accepted Jesus Christ, at least to some extent, have made that bold pronouncement. Today, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
And when you say that, I don't know what you really meant, but when you say that, you are saying you are rejecting all others that have been maybe Lord in your life, and you are now making a 180-degree turn, turning your bikes on or at whatever was Lord in your life, and you have taken that vow to walk a new path, to chart a new course in your life. And because of that, Jesus is saying to us, we are not alone, because the journey is not easy. It's difficult. You saw me when I got here to read from here. I didn't read here. I started looking on the wall because that's where I always looked. So it's easier for us to make a turn around to where we've always been. So on this new journey, you need someone to guide you. And this person must be somebody that will not take a leaf of you. And the way this person is not going to take a leaf of you is this person is going to be within you. And so Paul says, our body is the temple of God, of the Holy Spirit. That's what he says. And because the Holy Spirit indwells us, help us to always remember, at least most of the time, remember this relationship, how important it is. And so when we tend to forget that indeed there's a helper, that, it's that illumination we're talking about, that turning on the light. That turning on the light of understanding, the light of wisdom, the light of knowing that you are not alone on this journey, in this circumstance. You have a helper. The illuminator lives within you. He lives within you to guide you, to remind you, the wonderful promises that Jesus made, to remind you that God is not man whose limitation will always stand in the way of the promise. The wonderful thing they promised to do, sometimes they get there and they say, you know what, I thought I could do it, but I'm sorry, I can't do it now. God is not like that. And we need to understand that. We can trust this God with our whole self, because God does not have any limitations. God's love for you is constant. It's unconditional. If we were to add any condition to God's love for us, it's the condition to just accept it. Just accept it, because it's not going to force it on you. And so the illuminator helps you to understand all of these, to remind you. When things seem to be fuzzy, and you begin to wonder, what do I do? Turns on the light. This is what you should be doing. This is your help. And that's the God we serve. So then my challenge to us this morning is to re-examine ourselves. Has there been a time in your life that you felt so empty? Has there been a time in your life that you felt so lonely, so confused, not knowing what to do, not even knowing what it is, the purpose of you being called a Christian? Not knowing what your relationship with this Jesus is all about. I'm here to assure you, turn to the Illuminator, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth,
guide you. The Spirit of truth will help you. The Spirit of truth will open your mind to understand. The Spirit of truth that searches all things, even the things of God, will reveal to you that which the Lord has in store for you. And you can rest assured that it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Because we serve a God who has no limitations. Scripture tells us that in all things, not in some, but in all things, in every circumstance of life, in our limitations, in our maybe strength, in our sadness, in times of sorrows, Scripture tells us God works in those things, in all of those things, in all of those times, for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And that's why we are all called for. We are calling according to God's purpose. God's purpose is for us to be saved, to have a relationship with God. And so we have that assurance. We have that assurance. Don't think you are alone. Even if this world was to tumble, you have someone on your side. It is the Spirit that illuminates the truth of God so that we can have a relationship with him. Amen. This is the time of prayer, and I would invite us, if you have a joy that you would like to share or a concern, you may please do so now.
We'd like to thank all of you who have been keeping our daughter-in-law, Tracy, in your prayers. She had breast cancer surgery last week. She's doing very well. She's amazing the doctors. She's amazing herself. And thank you for the amazing grace that has been given to her. We ask your continued prayers as she goes through the next several months. Thank you.
Amen. Thank God to hear that. Let's continue to pray for each other. Let's continue to pray for those of the members of our congregation who are equally struggling with health issues. And of course, aging is one of those things that is a huge problem. Is that a problem or a blessing? It's a blessing. It's not a problem. Except for, you know, when you have some health issue associated with that, then it becomes a problem. So let's pray for those people and ask God to hold them. Some of them really, really would love to be in church. You visit one, visit with them, and they say, you know, I'd like to come, Pastor, but I just can't. It's hard for me to do that. So let's they still remember this church. Let's pray for them. Okay. Let's be together in prayer. And so, dear God, again, we say thank you for being our God. The God who cares, the God who loves, the God who is faithful, the God who is almighty. In every circumstance of life, you are God. You are able. And so we say thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be called by your name. And you say if those who are called by your name will humble themselves and pray,
you will answer their prayers and attend to their needs. And that's why we are praying. We pray, O Lord, and thank you for Tracy and all others using her situation as a springboard, Lord. We want to hear more and more of this testimony. As someone, including Deborah, Lord, is doing okay. Including all of the others, oh Lord, that you know, each of them by name and by their condition, that they are doing all right. We thank you for our time this morning. Thank you for your love that has no end. Thank you for sending us the helper, the illuminator, to remind us, to just encourage us, to help us remember that we serve a God who is able, that we are never, ever alone. We thank you. We bless you. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you freely in this country at this particular moment. Thank you for calling each of us, giving us the encouragement to be here this morning. And Lord, as we leave from here to go into the Word, help us to spread the news that there is a God who loves and cares for every person, no matter who they are, no matter what circumstance of life, no matter what their status in society might be, that embraces every person in the arms of his mercy, love, forgiveness. We bless you. We glorify you. And give you thanks. All in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, who taught us whenever we pray, we conclude with these words of prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. In continuation of our worship of the Lord, he says, it's more blessed to give than to always receive. And so let us worship the Lord with our offerings and tithes. Give as you are blessed. Thank you.
please join me in the prayer of dedication. Dear God, we give out of the abundance with which you bless us. Holy Spirit, open our eyes of our hearts and minds to be sensitive to the needs and hurts of the unfortunate ones around us. Finally, may you use us and our gifts to reach out to them with Christ-like love and care to the glory of our triune God. Amen. We may remain standing and sing the hymn, Spirit of the Living God, is 393. Yes, that's what we all need, that the Spirit will refresh us, because that's the helper we've got. And so go in peace, and may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, the love of God, be with you, remain with you, now and always, in Jesus' name. Amen.